Blog Talk Radio.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is drawing near.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Thanks, Dave. And hillbilly it is. I've been called a lot of things. Just don't call me a Hoosier or a redneck. Redneck, a big difference between a hillbilly and a redneck. Welcome to Hillbilly Logic and the inaugural show. I've got coming on tonight with us, we've got Dave MacArthur from MacArthur's Bakery. And those fine locations are located in St. Louis, even though they do mail good treats throughout the country. Dave, if anybody's been to a MacArthur's Bakery, it is something to be said for. Actually, I used to be thin, but no more. It's not yet, Dean.
Oh, okay.
With me tonight too, we've got Dean Whiteman.
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
Dave is not on yet.
Oh,
Dave's
okay.
Going to be calling in. Dino just
Dino
just blessed us with his appearance. One of the things that I'd like to announce first and foremost. The police are issuing a scam warning for the state of Missouri, especially the seniors. It seems like they're at it again, and that is where you will get a phone call that tells you that it's a relative or a grandchild who needs help. When they say, hey, it's me, your grandson, the potential victim would say a name, and then they would say, yeah, it's me, and I'm in prison in Mexico, and I need you to wire X amount of dollars to get me out. So be careful. Unfortunately, some folks fall for this. They'll call thousands of callers on this stuff, and even if they get one or two to fall for it, it's lucrative for them. It's low risk, high gain, once again, on the scam market. So be careful in the state of Missouri and other areas to keep that at bay.
Terrible.
Dean, thanks for joining us this evening. We're going to have an old friend, Dave MacArthur, on here about quarter after.
Fantastic.
So about 15 minutes into the show. And as far as everything else goes, we might have Dave Court chime in every once in a while, or maybe Lisa. You never know, whenever she might appear.
Yay!
So
applause button.
That's too much pressure. they're on strike.
Oh.
Speaking of that, I'm not sure if the Chicago teachers settled or not, but
heard they might be back to work as early as tomorrow.
Imagine that. Did
yes.
Did the president ride in to save the day?
That's no. All I heard that was coming up, and I had to get here.
Let me see if I could bump you up just a hair.
Okay, or I can set this a little closer.
Well, either way, it might work. You know, I don't know if you got if you've had a TV on. Even though I must say, yesterday. I've got a granddaughter that is a little more than a year and a half old, and she catches some of the typical kiddie programs. I do kind of keep an eye on some of the programs to make sure that they're not, you know, too brainwashed.
Right.
But it's on Channel 9, and the program ended, and NPR News came on.
On Channel 9.
Now, we've got all the embassy stuff going on. We've got everything else that is happening across the world. The Middle East is on fire again. And what do you think they led with?
I would say something about Michelle Obama has a new recipe.
No, but they led with the iPhone 5. That was the very first lead story.
Really, over
and
Egypt.
And probably like 5 minutes into it, I hadn't seen I hadn't seen any news on anything going on Egypt yet on NPR.
Unbelievable.
It's a pretty sad case. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, there's a lot of stuff going on. If anybody believes that was just a coincidence, I know if you're listening to conservative radio, you probably heard a lot about what's going on. So I won't keep you here all night, but man, I'm going to tell you, it's ugly. It's ugly. We've actually, the last time that a U.S. ambassador was killed was in 1979.
Wow.
And, you know, we're looking, I was going to try to look up the old TV program, Welcome Back, Carter.
Carter, yeah.
And play that music, because now the president, now the president is really taking on a lot of the attributes of our former president, Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yes.
With his economic disasters, his policies, and now we've got embassies being overrun. So
unbelievable. Well, Jimmy has blessed him for the future, the coming election.
Jimmy has?
Yes. I don't know why he would even want that.
I guess no. You know, I one socialist to another. I don't.
Oh, right.
Oh, who said that? Did I say that?
Didn't hear a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, my parents always told me that you can pretty much judge a tree by its fruit, and you know, I'm seeing a lot of fruit that doesn't coincide with a lot of the language that's being used.
Amen to that.
In the mics. So we're unfortunately, I saw that one of the other gentlemen that lost his life over there in the embassy was a Navy SEAL. And he's not active. He is retired. But what a shame. Altogether, the four, it's an outrage.
How did they get a Navy SEAL? Was it the smoke or something? Does it say?
Well, I really did not get much of the background on him. But I don't believe that he was active. And quite frankly, you know, most of the people have been saying, well, where were the Marines? Where were...
I saw two guys with big guns standing inside the gate. They had video of while the crowd was smacking against the door, and they were just standing there kind of looking at the crowd.
Well, I mean, once again, we are stuck with what is left over from the policies of, you know, we want to be their friend. We don't want to be intimidating by having a lot of force over here.
Yeah.
Surely.
That's what that gets you.
With the work that the ambassador had done, surely they would be, you know, friendly toward him. I mean, he shouldn't be, Chris Stevens shouldn't be in danger.
You don't know who it is. It's just like here. One bad apple can ruin it for the bunch.
No, yeah, but this was organized. I mean, especially
it was,
that.
It was, but do you
and,
think
and it, it's,
the 2,000 people that I saw standing along the wall, do you think that was organized, or do you think they were just kind of the mob that was going along with the video?
I do agree that in Egypt it looked like they were, you know, that, for one thing, it's not too hard to dictate or to figure out how to get a rise out of a crowd
over
in the Middle East. No. I mean, I hate to say it.
Let's riot. Okay.
It's a little more, you know, it's I don't know, throw a video on, throw anything on. Show them a cartoon. I don't know, but
right.
I'm just saying it's easy to get them riled up. And, you know, it's pretty easy to coordinate an effort like that but with some contribution from the crowd. And That's a shame. I just think that
they were a wonderful diversion.
Yeah, and it's got to, with the anniversary on 9/11, we know what was going on. Dave, are you with us right now, buddy?
I am.
Just wondering about your input on what's going on in the Middle East.
I read some blogs by the Marine, by different Marines this morning, that indicated, and this has not been admitted to or by the State Department yet, but these Marines blogged that the embassy guards were not allowed bullets for their guns.
Isn't that that's an outrage? I cannot fathom. You know, once again, the rules of engagement and the policies of appeasement, you know, how many times are they going to put not only the country in danger, but its citizens?
And yeah, as I say, we haven't verified that. Of course, the State Department is saying that they won't talk about security at the embassies, but Marines are about the toughest in the world, and to think that those embassies could have been so easily overrun makes me believe that is quite likely true.
I would have to say I agree. And I apologize. I'm just trying to work some bugs.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's all right. I'm I don't know. I think that I was talking to someone just the other day, and you know, my feeling on it is that it is the absolute definition of insanity. You know, we give you money, you try to kill us. We give you more money, you try to kill us. We apologize for pissing you off, you try to kill us.
Right.
You know, and so we give you more money. We give you a whole country, and you try to kill us. And so what do? We just return to step one.
You know, Dave, there's a fact. There's a lot of fallacy that's going around, and really it's the same kind of thinking that you hear from the Middle East and other places, or from Louis Farrakhan or others, where they, once again, blame America for the feelings that others have of hatred against us. And
that's right.
What that is just, I hate to say it, it's not anything more than ignorance of history. Because it's not. People need to realize that there's a difference between a trigger and also an ideology. And what we're dealing with is an ideology that just by itself is in conflict with our Constitution and its citizens.
Right.
So it's not, sure, you know, you might have had instances that might have flared up. One of the things that I kind of liken it to is whenever you see on the highways or on the news or anywhere else where somebody has gone off in a road rage minute, and you know, they pull a gun or not pull a gun, you know, they might beat somebody up, they might run somebody off the road in their vehicle. You know, the fact that somebody cut them off really didn't warrant that. The fact that they cut them off really didn't cause it. What it was a trigger. I mean, that person was already a loose cannon anyways. And that's much of what we see in the Middle East often, was the fact that their hatred for us is just generated through triggers.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and that hatred is institutionalized over there. It's been going on for so many generations that children are born into it and don't even know why they hate us. They just do.
What was the name of that film they sent out? Obsession?
That was the ACLJ.
But
it was Obsession.
All the kids being raised.
Oh, I know.
To hate us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You can.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have video of kids playing. Playing a game to where they pretend to be suicide bombers.
Oh, yeah.
They all go around in a circle and they throw the dust up in the air and they all cheer and one of them acts like they're dead. And
unbelievable.
Yeah. It's
you know, the average American has no clue what it's like to grow up to adulthood and not know anything but people in your street killing each other.
No, we don't. That's true. And unfortunately, with policies that continue, unless you live in Chicago, it's getting a little closer. But with the policies that are continuing, you know, hopefully we'll never find out. But it really concerns me because appeasement and our current foreign policy is not the answer.
Appeasement never works.
It doesn't work. You know, Dave, if you ever get a chance, there was a look back at the history of the Vikings. And as they're working up the river channels over in Europe, the king of France had heard that they were on their way, so he sent wagon loads of gold and silver down to buy them off. And after they got it, you know, they sent for all their buddies. They're like, "Holy cow! You know, this is a city of gold, and these guys are handing us all their gold and their ladies and everything, and we didn't even have to fight." So
wow. So
they were conquered pretty quick. I mean,
right.
It doesn't work.
Giving them the gold didn't work.
But no. On the other hand, strength and a consistent willingness to use it. I mean, Ayatollah Khomeini kept those hostages for 2.5 years, and while Ronald Reagan was being sworn in, they were getting on a plane to come home.
Right,
right.
That's 100% correct. And you know, those of us that have lived through that and remember that. You know, we know what happened, and we know why. There was always kind of conspiracies about he had a deal cut. No, they just knew what they can get by with and what they
could. That's right. That's right.
And quite frankly, if you don't, if you're not arming your Marines or your protective forces around your embassies, you know, what can they get by with? They can get by with a lot. And there was, you know, reports of some in the Libyan protection themselves that was contributing to the activities, and that's that's a crying shame.
Absolutely,
Dave. We had some action on the Missouri side of things yesterday in the form of some veto votes and stuff. So, would you like to share any of the outcome with that? Well, I guess not. He's probably catching Dave MacArthur. Yeah, as we speak. So let's go ahead and welcome Dave on. We'll finish up with the talk of the Missouri veto.
Just saw Dave Saturday night.
Did you really?
Yes. He and Moose, his son, young Dave
right.
Jr., Dave was the guest of honor, Dave Jr., at a fundraiser that the VFW, multiple VFWs, and other organizations are throwing to actually purchase a piece of land and build a memorial park for
veterans.
You know,
that's awesome.
Very nice.
That's
very
awesome.
Nice.
And as far as that goes, Dave, you're probably live with us right now.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Dave,
hey,
welcome.
Dave.
How's it doing? That was a great affair over the weekend. Well attended, and I think everybody took out their wallet along with their heart. So that was a good night.
Amen, brother.
For those of you, I mean, some of you may have caught Dave on Cavuto or on Huckabee, and because he's a frequent guest on Fox, he's also he's the owner of the finest bakery in St. Louis, and that would be MacArthur's Bakery. So if you get the opportunity to swing by there and visit him, please do. You will not be sorry that you never dropped
by.
Dave, one of the things that we were talking about earlier was a lot of the Middle East turmoil right now. Now, for somebody that has invested and had a stake in a lot of the activity over in the Middle East, if you don't mind, could you share with us your viewpoint on what's going on right now?
Well, my personal opinion is I think it's a classic example of the old saying, you reap what you sow. In the last 3 years, we've had a policy of appeasement and leadership by the back seat rather than the front seat. And I think that when you are, it's been evidenced through history before us and time again that this is a part of the world that they understand one thing, and that's brute force and who carries the biggest stick. And when you want to sit back and rule from the back seat, you're going to get walked on. And today, I believe, or yesterday, was the beginning of what is going to be a history if we continue to lead, if our leadership continues to lead as it has, of unrest like we've never seen before. And you turn back to here we are. I think of in my heart today individuals like Rocky Sickman, who's a, if you remember him, he's a Missourian from Krakow that was a Marine guard that spent all that time in Iran back in the days when they overran that embassy. And I turn and you think of who our leadership at that time was, and it was Jimmy Carter. And, I personally have one of these bumper stickers on the back of my truck that's got Obama's picture with Welcome Back Carter.
Right.
And I said, history repeats itself when you have leadership that has a mindset that you don't want our United States to take the lead and fill the voids, then the people that are the bad guys are going to take the lead and fill the voids, and that's what we've seen the last couple of days.
Unfortunately, that's the fruit of that ideology, isn't it?
It is, yes. That's the mindset of the Middle East. I mean, it's nothing. They don't see anything wrong with it. It's just, their whole thing is strength through leadership through strength, and the strongest tribe is in control. The strongest power is in control, and it doesn't necessarily matter what you think or what your religion or anything else are, that they are going to force their rule upon you if they have given the opportunity. And we went over there and we took out some bad, we allowed bad guys Mubarak and Libya guy, you know, what's his face there? That,
yeah.
You know, they weren't good people, but at least they were. We had them under control, and you know, of course, that is what I believe that you know this president and this administration knows that surround him. That's what they don't want. You know, they don't want to see American exceptionalism. You know, they want to see America as an equal, on an equal level with all the rest of the world, and stop being a dominant force. And if you want to stop being a dominant force, then you better be ready for this type of thing that happened, because these people have no fear of you.
And we don't realize that, a lot of our leaders, it seems like.
Well, we certainly don't see it in our current leadership and many of those that surround him.
No, we
don't.
You know,
it's not a matter of Democrats and Republicans. It's a matter of the liberal mindset that kumbaya, we can all get along. You know, and having been an individual that was born in an inner city neighborhood, I can tell you right now, it doesn't work in our own country, let alone in some of those third world countries like that.
Well,
so there we are.
You know, Dave, just for a little bit of history for the folks, you've invested a lot, and that would be with your son, Dave, Moose MacArthur. He did a tour over there with the Marines, and unfortunately, he was wounded in duty, and he is dealing with that byproduct today. And if you would, Dave has been doing a whole lot of work with traumatic brain injury victims, and they're really making some headway. Dave, if you'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I can do that. You know, Moose is one of thousands upon thousands, and this goes back, you know, he was wounded May 13th, 2010 in Afghanistan. He was driving an MRAP, which is an armored vehicle, explosion-proof vehicle, and of course, thank the Lord, had he been in any other vehicle that the military operates other than a tank, he would not have come home, but ran over an IED, approximately 200 pounds of high explosives, and survived the injury with blast trauma injuries, and that is from the compression, from the sonic blast force of that huge explosion, literally going up around the vehicle and in the turret hole, tore his brain in three places. So there are many different types of TBI injuries, and you know, actually, it's said that approximately 1.5 million TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, occur in the United States every year, and this can be through anything from football injuries, as we're now hearing so much about with these professional players coming down with Alzheimer's and things at early stages. And kids with soccer, they played a lot of soccer, bouncing the ball off the top of their head. But the most common is something that I've learned is from around 19 to 25 males, and that's in car wrecks and with head trauma. But coming back from the theater over there, that the blast injuries account for more than 70% of all the injuries. And they can be anything from Afghanistan. And they can be anything from a simple, class 1 or A concussion that's just like getting your bell rung, all the way to, as Moose's was, is a class 3 concussion, and class 4 means that you don't come home. But with that said, what you learn is that the injury is that he is, it's someone, that, the best way to describe it, and the most of them are someone that you know that had a moderate to semi-severe stroke. They lose motor skill, they lose memory, they lose speech, they lose balance, and all of these things that come along with it. As well as in Moose's case, he had a severe tear directly above the spine from the blast force going through his mouth. It ripped his brain above his spine and it bled. So he has a headache every second of his life. Many, many, many of the injured also have the headaches. Some it's not a constant. Some it's erratic migraine type thing. But in his case, he has a constant headache with about 40% of it having migraines. And, you know, so what you've got is you've got, you know, the effects of this and then fall in with what's called post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as we call it today. In the old days, the wars, they called it, shell shock or the thousand-yard stare and all these different things we've all watched as if we ever watched any war movies through our life. Well, that's PTSD. And when you combine the two, you get depression. And when you mix depression with pain, one of the biggest things, side effects of this is when these young men and women come home, there is a tremendous amount of suicide. The suicide rates, actually, the VA and the DOD don't even, they don't even want to talk about it. You won't even find them tracking it. They track current service members, but they don't even track it on the outside, and it's my own personal belief. That's because they want to bury it. Right. But I call TBI the modern-day Agent Orange for those listeners out there that know someone that was in Vietnam. And it's a invisible wound. And they deal with the repercussions of it being invisible daily because people call them slackers or they call them fakes or the liars or all these different issues because you cannot see their wounds. They're not poster boys and poster girls like those that if you've lost limbs and you make a good picture for our cause. And that's no knock at all on the amputees because they deserve everything they get. But the TBI victims and the PTSD victims have just been ignored by our government. And to this same very day, I think, they don't put any more to it than they have to because the injury rate is so high, and there's so many of them that have come home. 17,000 injuries in Afghanistan alone.
Wow.
And so imagine that, 70% of them being TBI victims.
Right. And unfortunately, there's always been a little bit of history with that in the fact that the services were not really quick to recognize injuries in past wars. You've mentioned Agent Orange, the frozen feet in Korea, many other aspects. They've been real slow to recognize, and this one here dwarfs, the numbers dwarf most of the others.
They recognize it. They just recognize it, after a lot of the people have died off and nothing has to be paid out anymore.
In years past, that's 100% correct.
The VA is just so far behind. I'll tell you the one of the scary things that we take this one step further is when we talk about the system that's taking care of our wounded and it being so overloaded. I'm a subscriber to the Military Times, and I'm sitting here looking at a page right now that says backlog stands near 867,000. Average wait time hits 257 days.
Wow.
So here we are, folks. We've got a VA system that encompasses about 5 million veterans, and they're 867,000 claims behind. If in my book, that's almost 20%.
Right. That's
okay.
It's a crime, is what that is.
That's right. And now we're going to go into now take this and envision this. By 2014, because of our current administration's failure to deal with the budget, we're going to cut $500 billion out of the military. We're going to reduce our military force by 40,000 in the Marine Corps, 110,000 to 120,000 in the Army, another 80,000 in the Air Force, and another 60,000 in the Navy. Okay, we're going to face the largest forced layoff in the history of our country. So if we take those numbers and you add them all up, you're somewhere around 300,000 people. Okay, of those 300,000, many, many, many of those are veterans that have 12, 14, 16 years behind them. They're going to go into the VA system by the hundreds of thousands.
Right.
You hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah, I do.
We're looking at a system that's 257 days behind schedule now.
Right.
And we're going to force a couple hundred thousand more out in a 18 to 24 month period.
Right.
Oh, my God. Nobody's talking about this.
Dave,
no one's talking about it.
The other thing is that there's your perfect example right there of a national health care system. And what the American public can look forward to themselves down the road.
Obamacare, right there.
But we need to take care of our soldiers first and foremost.
Amen.
Dave, we've also got Dave Court in with us. I didn't know if he had any questions or comments, but if he does, Dave.
I was going to piggyback on something that that I just heard a minute ago, and that is, you know, aside from these new warriors that we're going to be putting into the medical system, we're getting ready to put, you know, by 2014 at that same time, we're going to be putting 120 new 120 million new beneficiaries into the system.
Yeah, through Obamacare.
Yeah. Yeah, people who are just entitled to exactly the same by virtue of the fact that they live here are entitled to the same medical care that these veterans get.
Yep, that's right. And you're looking at and they're saying we currently have a shortage of doctors, and the AMA's reports estimate that what approximately 35 to 40% of all current practicing physicians say that if Obamacare, as they see it, is enforced by 2014, they will retire.
My doctor told me that. She's about a 34-year-old woman right in the prime of her career, and she said, if it goes through, I'm done.
And
my
personal family doctor, he already has. He's moved on to a different practice.
I've got a niece who was in medical school in Kansas City, third year medical student, and she said, that's it, I'm done. And she said second and third year students are just dropping out left and right.
And you know, gentlemen, if our country just doesn't, if our economy just doesn't totally collapse under the practices of the current leadership, I use that loosely. If you look at the way that they've set up all the funding and financing through for colleges and everything, what you can see the writing on the wall. What they're going to do is, well, you know what? We really don't need any engineers right now. What we need is doctors. You know, we can't loan you any money to be an engineer, but you know, if you want to go into the medical field, yeah, we'll give you the money, and you know, you can also do a couple of years of public service. You can do these other. You can see it. You can see the writing on the wall. It all goes together.
It does.
Even with that, who's going to go to school for 8 years plus their normal education for $100,000 a year?
Right.
It ain't going to happen, folks. It's just not going to happen. They can go make more money being a veterinarian and don't have to be on call 7 days a week. Or, you know, what you're going to have is a system that is completely opposite of what we have now, which is a bunch of people going in and punching the time clock like we have at the VA. And, you know, I'm sorry, patient 101, but your hour is up. Move on.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot to be addressed with that. And Dave's going to be joining us every once in a while. He's going to give us quite possibly any time that he wants to. He could join us and give us a military minute, an update, other things. But the one other thing that Dave is he's a businessman, and he's a businessman in the state. He's a businessman that's feeling the byproduct of this philosophy. And, Dave, if you would, just hang around right after the break. We want to get back to you on talking about some of the challenges to your business in the state of Missouri and the city of St. Louis.
We'll be here.
Thanks.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
This is the Missouri Grassroots Man. This past August in the Missouri primary, many of us voted for different Republican candidates to run against Claire McCaskill. Todd Akin won in a three-person race, and then a few days later, he misspoke using the word legitimate instead of forcible in a TV interview. The controversy over Todd Akin's abortion comments was started by a George Soros-funded Democratic super PAC, the American Bridge, and the Republican Party officials who won him out of the race for other reasons took the bait and stepped knee-deep in muck and can't get out. The GOP establishment doesn't want any more independent voices in the Senate Republican caucus like Todd Akin. We as grassroots patriots are now split over supporting Akin, and this could very well mean Claire Bear will be reelected. The news media around the state has reported that the television ads for Akin's campaign has been pulled due to the lack of funding, which the GOP promised they would do. But wait, it's not too late. Did I say we as grassroots patriots? Isn't that what we do best? Grassroots campaigning? Getting on the streets and knocking on doors and supporting anti-establishment candidates who will do what is best for our country and the GOP can't control? Yep, we still have a shot at electing someone who the establishment does not want. And isn't that better than sending Claire Bear back to D.C. to support VO? It's time to hit the streets and the phone banks and to do what we do best, elect grassroots candidates. I'm Terry Varner, and this has been the Missouri Grassroots Minute.
You can call the Hillbilly, 347-677-1835.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You do walk a while, a country mile, in my hillbilly shoes.
You know, Dave, sometimes it just takes a little bit of simple logic to really kind of work through a problem, doesn't it, buddy?
Yes, it does. Sometimes it don't take a whole lot of logic. It just a little bit of common sense, which is, I think, one of the main things that that we lack in the world today, in more than one location.
A little bit of common sense, or a little bit of hillbilly logic, one or the other. You know, one of the things, I don't know if you caught the clip with Dennis Miller or not, whenever he was talking to Jay Leno. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
It was actually a pretty good clip. I'm going to play it real quick for you. It's not going to take long, but I think you'll get a kick out of it.
What am I missing over the last 4 years? It just does not seem that good to me.
I think he has compassion for regular people. I think that's what I think. If the Republican Party is missing anything, it's this sort of war on women and compassion
on women. Yeah. With Sandra Fluke. She's 30, for God's sake. She's still in school. She wants me to kick in $10 a month for her birth control. Here, I'll give you 10.
No,
just shut up for a second, okay? This woman stinks.
No, you pick
for
one. No.
War on
no.
Women, for God's sake.
I think it is. Well,
the chick's like Mona Varna. No,
you know,
come on.
No, but.
I thought that was pretty. I thought he handled Jay Leno pretty good on that.
I heard that.
Yeah, we need more of like that. Yeah, when they recently the former governor that told one reporter to take the Obama sticker off her forehead, you know, that's what we lack too much of. We've been too politically correct for too long, worrying about what the other party is going to say about us, because there's never been any doubt that they never had any fear to say anything that they felt at any level. So I'm glad to hear that it's finally taking place. I think Romney's doing a good job on that too. He's not backing down.
No,
you know, he stood behind what he said yesterday, and he said it early. And, you know, so far, all I've heard much out of the administration is appeasement. You know, if we don't hear something different from the Egyptian government, then they're going to be held responsible. Oh, that's like me telling my kid for the third time to stop it.
Right. And giving them a 10-second timeout. And I'll tell you what, too, I mean, they're not even going to threaten to cut their allowance. I can guarantee you that, too.
No, that's right. You know, and here, yeah, and they voted. They voted today on the without taking that money, without even putting it on an immediate temporary hold. You know, our government voted this budget through again today to keep the government running with all these billions upon billions of dollars. Somebody should have stood up and immediately said, "Now, I'm not saying that you want to pull it all, But you pull that carrot out and you put that carrot on a piece of string that says, per farmer, this money goes away immediately.
100%. I know one thing that that we're experiencing in this state and nationwide, really, is that very thing. And what we're talking about, that money going away. Dave is a businessman who has worked hard, who built his business regardless of what anyone else would say. You guys, I mean, you know, you grew up in that business, and you guys have taken it, you've built it, you've done a wonderful job. It's the best bakery I've ever been into. You've made a living at it these years. Whenever we're looking at things, what is some of your biggest challenges? Now, we had talked about before, and you described this better than I've heard anybody else describe it once before, whenever you were on the show, and that was the fact that energy is the backbone to any economy. Now whenever you went into that and you explained how that affects your business too, I thought it was a tremendous job, and it was very well received. Do you think you could share
that? Yeah, you know, one of the main things that I keep saying, and I mean, to me, this isn't rocket science. It's, you know, when we hear about economic recovery, all we hear from these big economists and all of our government officials and the treasurer of this and the secretary of that is the fact that big businesses aren't spending any money. They're sitting on their cash. You know, they're watching what the administration is doing. They're not sure what the taxes are going to do. They're not sure of what their health care is going to do, and where all these things are no doubt about it, indeed correct. Immediately, if you want this economy to recover, you have to do something with our energy policy. We have to bring fuel prices down. If this, just think of this, if the fuel prices were suddenly tomorrow $2.50 a gallon, that's $1.20, $1.30, depending on what you're buying per gallon. Times how many tens and tens of millions of gallons a day that go in, that $1.50, $2 immediately goes back into what? The local economy.
Absolutely.
Because those people that are putting $70 a week, $90 a week, and in, you know, some cases when you're talking about people that are commuting from Farmington to St. Louis or from Piedmont to St. Louis every day for their jobs, they're putting more gasoline and fuel in their vehicles a month than what their house payments are.
And
so now we take that money and we turn that around and we immediately add that money into the economy. Here's an instant growth spurt. You know, Dave the baker now gets the business from the person that no longer had that $20, $30, $40 in their wallet at the end of the month. You know, Mike the mechanic is suddenly doing upgrades on cars. And, you know, Ralph the roofer is putting roofs on houses that needed it for the last 4 or 5 years, but nobody ever had the money. All that money goes back into the local economy. It goes back in. It's taxed. Okay, you want tax increases? The quickest way to have a taxing, to have put money back into the tax system, into the government, is to do it through sales taxes. And so I keep talking about energy, and it's not only just the fuel, it's just that what fuel does. This, when you look at what food prices have done in the last 3 years, 4 years, since this administration has taken power, it's the first time in the history of our country, and no one's talking about it because the press is so subdued, is the fact that we have seen 30% increases in food prices in a recession. Name me any time in history that you can ever repeat that, and you had this kind of inflation during a recession. Normally in a recession, they're worried about deflation and the dollar's value of the goods dropping to prevent an economic recovery.
Well,
so here we've had fuel prices up 70, 90, 100%, food prices up 30%, and yet all that additional money into the economy, and still there's no recovery?
Right, right. Now we've got QE3 that just kicked in, which is going to, you know, wreak further havoc.
That's right. So what do we, you know, what they ought to do to call this is just, you know, picking winners and losers. That would be the proper way to rename this program. Let's let those who want to succeed, and those that we could care less about, let's just let them die on the vine. Because when the little guy's gone, it's easy to control the big guy.
Absolutely.
Think about it. Small business is gone. Now all we have to do is through the Fed and through the regulatory agencies. You want to control Walmart? You can control it through several regulatory agencies. You want to control Costco? You want to control the big stores and all these people? With three, four, five agencies, you have all the control in the world. It's the first step on the ladder to socialism. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's reality.
No, it is reality, and you could see that. Dave, did you want to chime in?
Well, and it does, Kevin, work the other way around, too. I mean, you look at the whole crony capitalism model, and it is in the benefit of the big guys for the government to be able to use the government to put the small guy out of business, and pretty soon the big guys own the government.
Yeah, but they'll also be under the thumb of them, too.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, down the road, whenever the little guys are all gone. You know,
sure, but that's like the pharmaceuticals. Why did they get in bed with Obamacare? Wouldn't I love to own a business where I had a guaranteed 10% profit and a guarantee of who my customer's going to be?
Yep.
I mean, think of it. You know, wouldn't I love to be the insurance company that's going to gain 35 to 60 million new customers at a guaranteed? Shouldn't you feel sorry for me? They're going to set my profit level at 20%. Oh, boy. Well, you know what? I'd like to be the sole bread supplier for everybody in the United States, and I'd settle for a measly 3%, pardon you.
And here's the thing, Dave.
Grand buffet.
Hey, whenever that economy is just totally trashed, too, you don't think they're going to come back to you whenever you're the only game in town and tell you that, you know what, we really can't pay you that anymore. You're going to have to accept less. And then what's going to be your options? Because they're going to be the only game in town. You're going to have to accept less.
You'll have to.
That's a shame of it. You know, Dave, one of the other things that you had said, whenever you described we talked about the manufacturing base and how electricity, how the costs, you know, whenever Obama's talking about us necessarily driving the cost of electricity up so we'll turn down our thermostats and all the rest, that it's killing the manufacturing base, and it's doing great damage to MacArthur's Bakery.
Well, you know, well, with cap and trade, that's how I first got into this, was when they were talking about with all the things that they were going to do, and then, of course, that was voted down, and then Obama just, you know, and then actually, I have to go back to the Republican Congress. Folks, if you've never heard me talk before, the one thing you will hear me say is, this isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue, this is a government issue. You know, cap and trade got voted in it was turned down, but the EPA regulation on carbon dioxide was put in place with the help of many liberal Republicans that voted for it, and we're paying the price right now by we've seen 100 plus coal-fired energy plants shut down in this country, and you're driving the price of electric high, and you know, people, you drive energy up, you drive manufacturing cost up, because you have to remember the laws of physics, and I've said this in front of you guys before. Me, Dave, the baker, they tell me, oh, well, be smart and save energy. Well, the laws of physics and most manufacturing processes, the people that use energy, our energy isn't what goes into the light bulb. It isn't what goes into the heating and cooling. It's what goes into the product you manufacture. And in my case, I start out with a ball of dough that's room temperature at 70 degrees, and I have to, through the process, bring that to a core temperature of 150 degrees. The laws of physics says it takes X amount of BTUs to do that. Nothing that I do, unless I'm God, can I change that. If I'm a baker, if I'm a glass plant manufacturer, if I'm a steel manufacturer, if I'm a painter that uses the energy to set the paints, everything else, there's one simple way I can stop. I can use less energy, and that's to bake less bread. That's to fry less donuts. So I can cut people, and I can cut product, and I can stop doing sales, and I can shrink my business, and I can save all the energy in the world. But where are these people going to work? I'll be the greenest bakery in the face of this earth the day I shut my doors.
Right. And thank you for sharing that. That's exactly the example that I was hoping you'd share with us, because it hits it dead spot on. I mean, that is how the manufacturing industry works. And whenever that energy prices goes up, it doesn't just affect our thermostats. It's also, what about that grocery store that you go and buy your produce at? I mean, their electric bills are phenomenal. And as far as that goes, I recently got a request by our local electric company, Ameren, to raise my rates 17%. And don't you think that that has anything to do with the EPA's lawsuits against Ameren? You know, there's no doubt about it. And this is it's going to bury our economy. Energy is the backbone to an economy. Dave, you know, did you have something you want to throw in?
There was an article in The Economist just last month that said in the last 3 years, grocery prices have gone up 34%. Just regular food prices, and that 92% of that increase was energy.
Was due to energy, sure.
Right.
Exactly right.
And what have incomes done in that same time frame? They've gone down.
Yep.
Yeah, shrunk 4 to 6 on average, 4 to 6%. They've shrunk. That's right. You know, we see it. In our business, our individual ring, we have 3 stores in the St. Louis area. And our individual ring, and that's the amount of, or the individual rings, the amount of sales, individual sales we have over the last 4 years are up 7%. So in other words, we have increased our customer base, but our profit margin is down 6%.
Right. Yeah.
So when you do the math, it doesn't figure. We cannot maintain at our current rate. Us and many, many other small businesses out there cannot maintain this type of thing for long. And in our case, as I've explained, it said there was a time when you were making money, you were buying equipment, and you were putting money back in your business. When you're not making money, you're driving your trucks instead of 4 years, 5 years, you're driving them 6 years, 7 years. You're not keeping, you know, your refrigeration, you're not upgrading it every 6 to 8 years. You're not doing these different things that you would have normally done. So now there becomes a difference when someone says they're losing money and they're losing cash. Because in that interim, if you've been investing in your business, you can write that off. You can amortize the cost and the new items that you've bought. But where businesses other than ourselves and just like us, where we're starting to get awful shaky is the point that we no longer have anything to write off. So our losses at the end of the year now become cash losses. And there aren't too many banks out there that are going to watch you go 2, 3, 4 years in a row and watch your cash loss grow, because now it's real money, before they're going to say enough is enough. And I've said, I think you are going to see that if this current administration is reelected by June or July of next year, you're going to see a desert oasis of what I call real estate property out there. Because there's many small businesses that have gone back to the well. They've mortgaged their home. They've gone to their savings accounts. They've taken huge financial cuts on their own in hopes of they're just holding out. But if this guy is reelected, and I like the word, it's not forward. It's we've been forewarned, okay? We know what this guy is going to do. You know, Neil Cavuto always says, well, it's the uncertainty. And I disagree with him on air. I say, no, Neil, it's not the uncertainty. It is the certainty of we know that we've got 4 more years coming of what we've had the last 4 at an accelerated rate, and we cannot survive with it. So at what point do you say enough is enough? I'm gone. And I think that this our country is just loaded with small businesses just waiting to see what happens this election. And you're going to see just numbers and numbers of people that just fold it up. Older people that have been running these businesses that can retire, they're not going to keep dumping their retirement money into this. They're going to walk away from it.
Right. No, that's true.
It's so sad.
It is, because you're talking about people's livelihoods, their dreams, their blood, their sweat, their tears, their homes. And
your homes.
Yeah,
your home, when you're a small business and you remortgage or you refinance, your home's tied to it. It's not like a chapter 11 when it's your personal debt and they can take everything. You can wash your credit card debt and but you keep your house. When it's your business, you lose everything that's associated with it. And it's a scary thing. And, you know, but You know, I'm telling you that there's a lot of guys like us out there that have just, you know, my brother and I both. I mean, we're at the point where you haven't had, and I'm not crying tears. This is just reality. You haven't had a raise in 4 to 6 years. In fact, you've cut your salaries at levels that are, you know, less than you've made in the last 20 years of your life. And at what point do you go, you know, I love my employees. My employees are like my brothers and sisters, but I'm 50 years old. I'm 55 years old. I have to start looking at, I've only got 10 more years, 15 more years, that I've got to secure my financial future for my wife in my old age. I can't do this anymore. I got to walk away.
Right, right. Well, that's that greedy businessman mentality, isn't it, brother?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, it irks me because I know the blood, sweat, and tears that small businesses put in, and I know the obstacles that are put before them. And Dave, you couldn't have been any more right whenever you said they want to get rid of all the small people and they want everybody to have to work for the big box store.
That's right.
I mean, they really do. That way, you know what? That way they don't have to worry about the taxes. Everything's taken out in advance. That way they get all the money, they get all the control, less people to control, less entities to control. You know, and that's where they want to be, in the driver's seat.
You know, the perfect example of it happening today is the banking business.
Sure.
Look at what they've done in this Dodd-Frank bill to destroy the heart and soul of small banks around this country. You know, they close left and right. You know, small town America, you take the small bank, you take the community bank out of small town America, and you destroy small town America.
Sure you do.
I mean, forget it.
I know somebody that sits on a board of a small bank that has, I believe they've got six different that are part of it. And these guys were paying $100,000 a year for the FDIC insurance before all the banking fiasco. Now, they didn't do any risky loans. As a matter of fact,
right.
When they came around
took
with
no bailout money.
Whenever they came around with the bailout, they tried to force them to take it. They still wouldn't take it, so they finally gave up on that. But you know what their FDIC insurance is now? $1.5 million a year.
Sure, now, 50% increase.
There's a classic case. You've gone from $100,000 to $1.5 million for the small responsible bank. And what would have happened in years past? How did small businesses get large? Well, it was whenever somebody that was big, an IBM or somebody else, you know, they make some poor judgments. They do some other things, and whenever they go out, you know, those banks, had they gone out, then their assets would have been sold, and you would have had the smaller banks that would have been acquiring them. Instead, they get to keep all their assets, and the smaller banks are the ones that are paying the bill.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we've kind of got the same thing right now in the state of Missouri with unemployment insurance. Most people, you know, here's the kicker. Our unemployment insurance, our state unemployment insurance is up 28% this year. We've laid no one off, Kevin.
Right.
Now, can you tell me why would my insurance go up when I've not had a claim?
Right.
I'll tell you why. Because every time the federal government extends unemployment, they pay half. And the state has to pay half. So the state doesn't have any money. So the state goes to the bank and borrows the money. So that 28% increase that I'm now paying on unemployment this year, as an employer struggling to keep the doors open, the state comes to me and raises my rates 28% based on every employee that I have to pay the premium, the interest. Pay the interest on the loan that they had to take to put money into the state unemployment fund.
That's
now, so here you are, a successful business trying to still make it, being penalized for staying in business, being penalized because if I have 100 employees, I have one rate, but when I hire 101, my rate goes up. So why do I want to hire the next employee so I can watch my rate go up higher yet? I'm penalized all along the way. It makes no sense.
It really doesn't unless they're just trying to collapse the economy.
And then it does make sense.
Dave, did you have something else that you wanted to add?
Oh, I didn't. I was thinking back there where you guys were talking about all these rules and payoffs to the big banks to again pick winners and losers and put the small banks out of business. Do you think for a minute that the fact that it costs you $3.5 million to make the first pill has anything to do with your health and safety? No, it doesn't. It's all about you and me and two pharmacological graduates not being able to go out in our garage and invent a cure for cancer.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's so much truth in that. And if you do, by the way, they're going to put you in jail.
That's right. That's right. They're going to make it cost you $3 million just to market the first pill, and there's no way that isn't done for the Schwabs of the world.
Right. No, there isn't. And it's we are really putting the handcuffs on business, and that is the only way we are going to even come close to having a prayer pulling out of this is we got to grow the pie. The pie has got to get bigger. We can't just keep bleeding off the dwindling pie. It's got to get bigger. And Dave, I do want to thank you very much for joining us this evening. I really appreciate it. I appreciate some future contributions and being part of the show as much as you'd like to, brother. Is there any closing thoughts that you'd like to share?
No, not really. I tell you, the one thing I guess you just ask every I do very often is for everybody to remember that we are still fighting a war over there in Afghanistan, and our troops are dying daily, and our wounded are coming home by the plane load every week, and we don't see it. We don't see it on the news, but in your prayers every night, remember those that protect us. And we see this what's happening in the Middle East right now, and it's a classic example of. Of just our world run amok, and the don't ever forget our safety barrier between us and them are those that sign that dotted line and take that chance and are willing to put their life out there for us. So that's my daily prayer, so that at least we never forget those. And I thank you for the privilege of being on this evening, and I'll look forward to certainly being part of the program on a regular basis.
Well, Dave, I mean, we can't thank you enough. I know that you guys, honestly, you are the American family. I mean, the businessman, the son who's gone off and fought for the country and for our freedom. You are living life, and we want to thank you so much for your contributions, not only to the show but just to the American way of life.
That's right. To everybody, Dave. We know you're a good guy. We've talked with Dave behind the scenes, and it sounds, as the show goes on, he's this huge businessman and biggest thing in St. Louis. And Dave's, he's struggling with some times out there, and he's
and that's
it.
With a successful bakery.
Yes.
I mean, so that shows the extent. Whenever you have a business that's run well, and they are just trudging along, doing everything they can to keep their doors open. It's a crying shame, and it's an indictment on the current economic policies that we have going on. But, Dave, we love you guys. Give Moose our best. We look forward to any updates that you've got coming from any military news that you'd like to share with us, too. And
sure, we'll do that. We'll start putting that together and, get some numbers and that every week and keep people abreast a little bit of what our losses are every week and what the sacrifice is. And I think it's a good way of doing it because you have to dig for it otherwise. If you're not part of it, the day-to-day news certainly isn't going to tell us what's going on. They don't want us to remember what's happening over there. So once again, guys, I appreciate the opportunity, and we'll look forward to it.
Thanks,
Dave.
Thank
you, Dave.
Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless you, too.
Whew.
Dave, Mr. Courtway?
I'm sorry?
I mean, Mr. Court? I know a Dave Courtway, and it's just, Dave Court, it throws me off. Well, brother, we certainly appreciate all of your contributions this evening, too.
Thank you. I appreciate sharing this time with you, Kevin.
And I will say, you know, Dave MacArthur does a tremendous job of explaining the effects on business and the challenges that our typical businesses face in this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So few people realize, really. I mean, they think, you know, when you talk about the 1% and increasing these taxes on the quote unquote rich, you know, that's your baker. That's your dry cleaner. That's your car mechanic that you're talking about killing out there.
Sure it is. Sure it is. And whenever you're talking about, you know, well, why can't we? That makes no sense. You know, I paid into some unemployment. You know, they should extend it to 99 weeks. You know, those are all that money just doesn't appear out of nowhere. They go back and they hit these guys up repetitively. For bills, it's like that. You really, what if you were in your living room and your mail is delivered, and all of a sudden you just start getting bills for things that you didn't buy, or that you have no control over. You're paying, you know, for your neighbor's electric or whatever have you. I mean, you didn't have any say so in it.
How long would you stand for that?
You wouldn't stand for it long at all.
Well, I don't know. You do. I mean, you do. I mean, you're buying a lot of food for a lot of people. You're buying a lot of Section 8 housing. You're buying I mean, every one of us stand for it every day.
You know what? You're
right.
Very good.
Dangled right in front of you, but you see it. It's true.
Well, and that's why they like to take those taxes and all those deductions out of payment.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
They will never. If you really wanted to get the taxes under control in this country, then do not get rid of payroll. Get rid of payroll.
That's right.
Make people write a check. And
that's right.
It will happen, brother. Uh-huh.
You'd have the fair tax in 2 months.
Oh yeah.
two months after the first April 15th, you'd have a fair tax in this country.
Absolutely, you would because cut that check. I can promise you. Now. Dave, we look forward to it. Thanks for like I said, being a part of the first Hillbilly Logic show on Missouri Grassroots Radio. And Dean Whiteman, I don't know if you recognize Dean. I know you used to catch the show, but Dean was a regular part.
Yeah.
And I look forward to his contributions.
I'm just glad to be here.
Well, thank you.
Each and every time.
We're glad to.
Yes.
Well, we're going to close things out. Dave, thanks for everything, and thanks for all the listeners, and look forward to doing this again next Thursday, and we will have, I'm sure, a fine guest in, and actually here real soon we're gonna be going to 2 hours to accommodate some of the guests that we'll be bringing in. Thanks, Dave, and you guys have a great evening. We're just trying to make the sense out of the senseless.
Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.